and welcome to another episode of the Will This Be On The Test podcast, the podcast with the answers to your questions for college and career success.
We are your hosts. I am Betsy Olinger.
And I am Dr. Elizabeth Manet. In this episode, we are discussing tips to kick your group project off successfully, including communication tricks and interactions, and how to handle conflict.
Amy, a recent graduate from the Pratt Institute, wrote to us on Instagram about groups. She said, "I've been a graduate student myself recently, and you basically nailed it with the dreaded aspect, specifically with managing group projects and different work habits in the group. Any tips would be so appreciated. This episode is for you and anyone else in the same boat. These tips and tactics are also very useful for you if you're conducting business or leading any kind of meeting or group that has a shared purpose."
Yeah, and the thing about group work is it is often very polarizing. People either love group work or they hate group work. And they're always quick to tell about why they hate the group work. And usually it's because of uneven distributions of work or perceptions of people not pulling their weight. You get the people who do 99% of the project. You get the people who say they're going to be helpful, but they're always making more work. You get people who don't show up until the very end of the group project and they want to take credit. It's really basically like an episode of The Hangover. So we're trying to get students on board with understanding how to navigate those different conflicts and resolve those conflicts. So yes, group experiences happen in school, in work, in families. Betsy, tell me about a group experience that you remember very well, either a good one or a bad one.
I've had many, but one that comes to mind right now is the capstone project for my senior design year at Georgia Tech. All industrial engineering students do a huge project for a company and present it to the company and implement it. I was working with six other people, and we did not get a choice of who we worked with. But because we had worked on so many different groups, we had learned what makes a group work well. And frankly, people referred to us as the utopian group. From the outside, it did not look like a utopian group at all, considering we all had different challenges and different strengths and different time schedules that made getting together hard. But because we had all these challenges, we put a lot of the tools in place to give us the structure of who did what, when things needed to be done, and the accountability. So when it came together, we presented well as a group, our client liked it, and we were successful, and it wasn't as painful as some other group projects.
Well, I love that. And I think what you're really talking about there, that description of how the group worked together, is called synergy. It's the idea that this group can generate this really positive energy. And so I think that's a good segue to sort of jump in with how you can get started on a group project really successfully. So the first tip that we recommend is making sure to build that rapport from the very beginning. And groups, they get into trouble because they jump into the task way too quickly. We recommend taking the time to build in those social activities before the very start of the project. And this could look like going and getting a pizza all together. This could be going bowling. This could be exploring somewhere in your town that nobody has actually been to before. Now, you may be saying to yourself, "I have a group project to do. I don't have time for hanging out." And I really think that the question there would be, do you have time to resolve conflict after conflict when your team inevitably gets into personality tensions because you have not built that rapport? And the rapport is so strong for creating teammates who are also friends and peers and respected. So Betsy, talk to us about this concept that you sort of mentioned a little bit in the group experience from your capstone, but highlighting the strengths and weaknesses from the get-go.
Absolutely. Everybody has their strengths and weaknesses that they bring to a group. Not everybody is the same. And frankly, if everyone has the same strengths as you do in the group, there'll be a lot of headbutting and a lot of good work will not happen. So I think it's important to know who is in your group, what their strengths and talents are, what they like to do, and capitalize on that. Not everybody needs to sit there watching everyone else work from the beginning of a project and the programming or whatever happens with this particular project through the presentation. It's divide and conquer, but make sure you work together.
Absolutely. And I think how this commonly manifests in college situations is you have a group of five and all five people take 1/5 of the writing and all five people take 1/5 of the presentation and all five people take 1/5 of the research. And what happens is you have sort of a disjointed presentation, project, research, when somebody might instead say, I really like to research and I hate to present. Can I just do all of the research? And another person might be saying, I love to present. That's great. That sounds good to me. And so a misconception is that everybody has to do everything. And I think that's really what you're talking about here with divvying up those strengths and weaknesses.
And sometimes it makes sense to have a document or some standard of how you're going to work together. Mm-hmm. And you don't want it to be beyond rigid and ridiculous, but we want to prevent a lot of the most common problems from happening with your group. So for instance, we spoke back in a very early episode about our roommate agreement to decide ahead of time how you're going to work with each other. And in this case, it would be a group charter, which is very similar. That would outline the strengths, weaknesses, division of labor, expectations, schedule, all of that together and writing them down at the very beginning and maybe sharing that even as a group. So you go, wait a minute, why is this person not responding? I spoke with a new listener, Alyssa, yesterday, and she told me about a group she was in, and she is trying to take a break on Saturdays and not respond to group texts. And another person that she was working with on a project was really irritated, saying, what's wrong with you? Why are you not responding? Why are you not responding? And as it turns out, she had made an agreement with the group that, you know what, I am taking this day off because I just need to recharge. And the person didn't get that information and there was some bad blood. So this kind of thing happens. So by having the expectations set out ahead, it really will prevent a lot of the drama that can happen. So it makes sense to establish these patterns and preferences and write them down and share them in a drive somewhere where everyone has them so you can refer back. This is the way I want to be contacted. This is the easiest way to reach me. By the way, you know, I don't do Thursdays or whatever it is. And we have an example of that in the group charter.
Yeah, and I think what you're talking about there is understanding that people have those preferences from the get-go and honoring them and respecting them. But I also think that having that group charter and outlining those expectations can also preempt technological problems that you may not even realize could exist down the road. So I will tell you, I teach group communication. This is my 7th year. It is very close to my heart. I had a group come to me 2 days into their final project to tell me that one of the members was being rude and disrespectful and she wasn't answering group text messages and she was awful and could they replace her? And the group member says, I don't even understand where this is coming from. It turns out she was a non-traditional student. She was a little bit older. She had a flip phone. Flip phones do not download group text messages, so she literally was not getting them. And if they had just sat down from the very beginning, did the charter, said, hey, what are the technology constraints of group members? They could have avoided this altogether. And, you know, once the four other people knew about this woman's technological constraints, they no longer thought of her as lazy or rude or unproductive. They just had a better understanding of what they could and could not communicate with her on platform-wise.
Wow. Yeah, that's a real example of what happens. And we do have an example of the group charter in the show notes.
Yes. And that could be something that could be edited to your group. So
It has to be because you know your project and you know the issues and you know what has come and bitten you in the butt before. Let's prevent those things ahead of time. Let's live and learn. We have the scars to prove it. Another issue that a lot of teams deal with and struggle with is getting items done in a timely fashion, whatever that is. And everyone has different expectations, and people who procrastinate even have different procrastinating styles. There is a tool that's been out for a long time, but it's very useful, and it's called a Gantt chart. And we have an example in the show notes, G-A-N-T-T. And a Gantt chart essentially says, hey, I'm a procrastinator. This is when it needs to be done. How do I work backwards? And what has to be done before the next step is finished so that the project gets done in a seamless fashion? For instance, if someone is going to be printing out a project and binding it or submitting it or mailing it off or depending how it needs to be sent, if the last edits have not been finished, it's ridiculous to go ahead and print something.
Absolutely. And I think another way to look at this is to say, if your project is due hypothetically on the 10th, that doesn't mean that work is finished on the 10th. That means that work needs to be scheduled and understood by all members to be finished on, say, the 5th. So that 5th through 9th is polishing, editing, cleaning up, accounting for any kind of mistakes that could have gone wrong. It's very important from a project management standpoint to look at it like we do not have up until the 10th to get the work done. It's really, what are we planning for in advance?
Our whole episode is essentially project management. So whether you're in the business world or school world, that is what this is. And you can say in an interview, this is what you've done. So a project management guideline is who's doing what, when do we need to do it, what are the costs, how are we doing it, are we on top of what needs to be done, and frankly, will it be done in time? Because frankly, it's too late if it's done late.
And I think it's also safe to say that the Gantt chart can also be done at the beginning. So if this episode is about kicking off your group project successfully, creating that schedule ahead of time, and knowing those expectations for the next 3 months out is just another way that you can guarantee a little bit better success in the long run. All right, so let's talk through everybody's least favorite portion of teamwork, the idea that conflict will occur and we don't know how to respond. So research suggests that college students' preferred method of handling conflict is avoidance. And unfortunately, avoidance in group projects just yields more and more tension. So we want to emphasize from the get-go that conflict is a healthy part of the group process if the conflict is handled well. So there was a researcher, Tuckman, who created a model for how groups develop and move through their teamwork. And he rhymed it so we could remember it. He started with forming, moved on to storming, created this idea of norming, and then eventually performing. And so the forming we already talked about, the idea that jumping into the task too quickly without building rapport leads to some tension. So make sure that we address those. But the storming is about this idea of conflict. And when you're in that storming stage, you're really figuring out how you work together. You're figuring out what are the ideas. You're pushing forward those ideas and debating them and deciding and recalibrating to make sure that the outcome is as strong as possible. When you're in that tension, just recognize that the outcome can be a better project. So, Betsy, I know that you love the idea of kind of that movement between forming and storming, right? The idea that all honeymoon phases must come to an end. So talk with us a little bit about how you can get over that hump of the rose-colored glasses are taken off.
Right, because we all go into it and everyone behaves nicely and we all are excited to be together, yes, and sing kumbaya, all that. But we get into the work and we have to realize that sometimes what we expected to get done in a certain amount of time isn't getting done for whatever reason. And so we have to come together and have those conversations. The honeymoon period, the initial period of everything is perfectly fine and we are getting along so incredibly well and what a perfect group we are and it's fine. I can take on this right now. It's fine. That goes away and that gets really old. So
And we just recommend that when you have those moments of tension where suddenly it's not that honeymoon, address it. Address it from the get-go. Hey, you know, I'm feeling a little stressed. I feel like I've taken on more of this project. I think we need to have a discussion of maybe redistribution.
Right. Or saying, hey, let's do a status check. Let's build those in. Where are we on this? Are we where we need to be at this moment in time? Is everyone doing what they need to do? What could come up and derail us? What are the problems that we're affecting? So I think that's important. Yeah.
I love that idea of a status check, because what happens is eventually you tick through those conflicts, you tick through kind of what isn't working, and you do get to that norming stage that Tuchman was talking about, where you're working very smoothly, and ultimately you set up for a good performance. So we love that idea. We want to just emphasize once again that tensions, if handled well, is just part of the process. So we've talked a little bit about how to kick off your group project successfully. If you are looking for more information about this, we have a great article about handling toxic teammates posted on the resource page of WTBOTTpodcast.com. We'll also have that sample charter that Betsy was describing posted for you, and we will post also a sample of the Gantt chart so that you have the resources at your fingertips for the next time you are kicking off your group project.
Fantastic. Now, this is episode 5. What if someone is just joining us? How can they find our previous 4 plus the pilot episode, Liz?
So if you're just joining us, we thank you for listening. And we want to emphasize that you can find our podcasts on most major platforms where podcasts are hosted. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, CastBox, Podchaser, Castro, Overcast, all of those venues are up for you to find us. But we want to encourage you to subscribe so that the latest episodes are just ready in whatever platform you prefer. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook under the handle at WTBOTTpodcast. And we encourage you to email us with your thoughts on this episode, or questions that you may have about any of the material that we have covered.
Next week's episode is going to feature relationships with support staff, whether you're in high school, college, work, or beyond. We hope you'll join us, and thank you for listening.
You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, most major platforms where podcasts are hosted. To make sure that you're prepared for your next test, visit our website at WTBOTTpodcast.com for links and notes mentioned during the show. We love hearing from listeners, so please leave us a question or a comment or a topic that you'd like to hear more about during the show. Please make sure that you subscribe, like, rate, review, and share so that you don't miss anything. We have to thank Joseph McDade Music for this awesome soundtrack. Thanks, Joseph. We release new episodes every Monday, so follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram specifically, to see what next week's episode contains. Thanks for listening.